It is Politics Wednesday time. Megan Woods and Mark Mitchell both with us. Good morning to you.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Megan.
Morning, both of you.
Megan, Minister of Energy hat, first of all, just very quickly. So one service station at my place the other day was at $2.98 for 98 petrol. Round the corner, it was 12 cents more. A lot of people are texting going, look, oil's at $80-something dollars a barrel. Are the margins still being monitored and are the margins being adhered to?
So, yes, the margins are still being monitored. We changed the law so we could do that. That's one of the things when we brought in the excise cut that we had actually changed the law so that we could do this monitoring, which has been really useful. We have a red, orange and green light system on those margins, and they're calculated off the Singapore index each week. They're still in the green light. We continue to monitor them. And if they do get out of that green zone, then we do make contact with the fuel companies and just say, look, what's going on? Why are margins so high? Sometimes it takes a bit of time for prices to kind of, the changes to flow through because of when stuff arrived in the country and what it was paid for. But weekly monitoring is absolutely critical. We wanted to make sure as a government that it was consumers that were getting that 25 cent reprieve, but it wasn't just adding to the margins of the fuel companies and the profits of the fuel companies.
Dave Bodger of Gull was on the show the other day. He said it's better to look for what we get it in from Singapore as opposed to a barrel of oil. Is that fair advice?
Oh, the weekly fuel margins are monitored off the Singapore,
right.
The Singapore index. Roughly, you follow the kind of the shape of crude, but to do that margin monitoring, we do that off the Singapore data.
Mark, retail crime, it's correct. Sorry, you want to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, Megan, when do you anticipate or think that the consumers will feel a bit of relief at the pump in terms of those global prices coming down?
Oh, look, I mean, nobody has a crystal ball on oil. That what we have seen, though, that we've seen all the way consistently since we've given the relief to New Zealanders in terms of petrol price, that they're the ones that have been pocketing the 25 cents, and it hasn't been turning up in the profits of fuel companies because we changed the law, we could do that. But look, this is a volatile market. With the impact of the Turkey earthquakes is going to be felt because we saw that there was a reduction in shipping out of one of the Turkey ports as a result. So we continue to monitor it, and it just takes constant vigilism, but we're committed to making sure as a government we're making sure this is landing in Kiwis' pockets and families' pockets and not tallying up on the profit side for the oil companies.
Right, Mark, retail crime, it's now cracked 10,000 a month. Should security guards have the right to arrest?
That's probably going a step too far at the moment. There's all sorts of training that they would have, additional training that they'd have to have, and the minute you put them in the position where they're having to make a physical arrest, as you've seen with these youth and juvenile offenders and adult gangs, they have very little regard for our police. They target our police, and you could end up with a tragedy. But, you know, the reality is the numbers just support what Kiwis have been seeing for the last 3 or 4 years, and that's a massive increase in retail crime. In 2018, there was something around 4,000 retail crime incidents a month. Now you've got almost 10,000.
Mm.
So it's doubled.
Yeah, how do you explain that, Megan? It's 4 to 10,000. I mean, there is no fear of the law anymore. People wander into a supermarket, fill their trolley, walk out, tell you to go get stuffed, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I don't know all the detail of this, but what I do understand is that the reporting system has changed, so it is now much easier for retailers to upload. So this covers everything.
No, it doesn't make it right.
No, it does. So this covers everything from shoplifting right through to what we'd see as some of the aggravated crime, but I'm sure you'll be talking to people to dig into those numbers a whole lot more. But if we do have a look at some of the things that have been of grave, and rightly been of grave concern to people, if we look at things like the ram raid burglaries, if we look at those over January, that has come down significantly of where we saw it, in those worst months of last year.
It's come down significantly. So what are the numbers, Megan?
There were 35 in January compared to an average of 75 per month in 2020.
So 35 in January is more than one a day.
But it is
less than
seven. We were seeing an average of 75.
What we've been saying has been,
yeah. We were seeing an average of 75, and that has come down to 35. Let's actually talk about what we can do to fix this.
Well, that's what I asked you. 10,000 retail crimes a month. 10,000. 10,000. What do you do?
Absolutely. And that is too much. I agree with Mark. I don't think that the solution is giving the right to arrest the security guards, because I'm not sure it would work in terms of the ability to do it. What we have to do is look at the things that we are doing in terms of stopping these crimes and what is
working. Well, you're not doing anything to stop the crimes. That's why they're going up.
There's been 540 prosecutions for ram raids and 200.
We're not talking about ram raids. I'm talking about retail crime, 10,000 a month.
Absolutely. And you have to look at what the solutions are, and you ask the question to
And what are they?
Mike. Is it giving a security guard the right to arrest? No, I don't think that will work. The work that we're doing a lot, so I mean, I don't know the detail of these numbers. And
you don't have to. It's 10,000 a month.
Well, who is it that's offending? I think is the first question that we need to ask. What do we need to do to address the fact that offending is happening in those areas?
All right, Mark, quick word.
Yeah, so Megan, number one, the reason why people tune out from you guys and you got labelled soft on crime is that you come on the show and you tell people that ram raids and retail crime is on the decline, when every right-thinking Kiwi can see that violence and retail crime in this country is on the increase. So that's number one. Number two, your solutions have been ban tobacco products, telling shopkeepers what they can and cannot sell. What will be next? Ice creams. And then you put cages around. People now having to put cages around themselves to actually try and feel safe in their own shops. That's not the New Zealand we want.
All right.
And then you roll out a retail crime fund, $6 million, 23 businesses have had physical support from that. You've completely failed on law and order. And the worst thing about it is that our frontline police officers that are out there working hard to try and protect and make their community safe are being targeted. And the public don't feel safe because they see the police.
Just quickly on the crime in the courts. So yesterday, Megan, on the program, we found out William Seo, when he was the courts minister, spent in one quarter of last year 9 hours and 15 minutes looking at the court system. The court system's blown out. There are two-year waiting lists. Is anyone interested in the government in the courts?
Oh, look, absolutely. In terms of, this is something that I know that the Minister for Justice is doing quite a lot of work on, that she's made it clear that she thinks that the times that we're seeing there are too long, and she's communicated that. One of the things we're wanting to make sure is that whether we've got the system set up right, so ensuring that all parties are absolutely prepared and have all the information needed so that a case can progress once it does get into that judicial system.
So two years waiting is too long.
Absolutely. The Minister has on many occasions expressed dissatisfaction with the current levels of delay. I mean, of course, some cases are more complex, but I think any right-thinking person can look at that and think that's a very long way. And that's why the Criminal Process Improvement Programme is looking at what we need to do and making sure all that information is there for all parties. So once it can get into the court, where the judiciary do control the process, but making sure that all that information is there and so it can progress.
Mark, carry on.
Yeah. No, I was going to say it's just a complete joke. I mean, I don't even really understand what Megan said there. It's vacuous. But you've got rising court times. So since 2018, you've got from 15 to 23 months in the courts. The family court has gone from 2017, 1,271 cases waiting, to 2,938. Mm. What's the government's response? Take poor old Reno Tirukatna, who's got no experience as a minister at all. He's sitting outside cabinet, and they say, here's courts, go and fix it. It's ridiculous. I mean, we've said that use the technology, use audio-visual more. Maybe look at expanding the hours of the courts, do some night court type work. But the thing that really annoys me about our court system is that not all judges, but some judges and defence lawyers put more of a priority and a premium on their time than they do on the members of the public that actually have to turn up to court and are taking days off work to try and get these court cases through, to often turn up, sit around for hours, and then be told, actually, you need to come back another day.
Yeah, I've been through it myself. It's a very fair point. Quickly, Mark, on Cabinet today, I don't know how excited you are, but I'm fizzing. I'm ready for the bread and butter reset. What are we going to see? What's your pick? What's first cab off the rank out of Cabinet today, do you think?
I think probably the low-hanging fruit would have to be the TVNZ-RNZ merger.
Just confirm that for us, Megan.
Oh, it might be early, Mike, but you're not going to get me with tricks like that.
The thing that interests me about this, Mark, though, is whatever they announce eats into you. It cuts your lunch. It's the stuff you've said is a disaster, is wrong, is going to lose them in the election. Everything they kill, that eats into what you're trying to do, isn't it?
No, I think it's more like I'll flip it the other way and say everything that they've done in the last 5 years and they've stood behind and told the public that we need, they're now starting to retract and move back on. So their own program, they're starting to admit was wrong. The only reason why they're doing that is because they've come under enormous public pressure. I think a lot of the public are over these guys. They've seen through them. And what government comes in, spends 5 years trying to roll out policies, and then all of a sudden in their final year or election year starts to roll them back.
All right, guys, we've got to wrap it up for another week. Appreciate it very much. Mike Mitchell, Megan Woods, back next Wednesday, exclusive to the Mike Hosking Breakfast.